Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Sasha Rothschild. She is out with a brand new novel. This one is called Blood Sugar. It is available everywhere, and it is, let me tell you, it's a fantastic read. And Sasha, Ruby Simon, you create this story, this character, Ruby Simon. She's complex, to say the least. Can you kind of introduce us to her? Because there's a lot to this lady.
Yes, Ruby is someone that I think many of us could be friends with and not realize that she's murdered a few people in her past, which makes the book really fun to read, a little bit shocking to read. But we start with her as a five-year-old girl, and she decides to kill somebody in the very first chapter. So we start off with a bang, and we spend some time with her through her life and learn about the things she's done and the one crime she's accused of that she did not commit.
Well, and it's a little bit different to me to read a book about somebody who's murdered multiple people from the killer's perspective, because we don't always get that. You see that sometimes in television. I think of Tony Soprano. I think of Dexter Morgan. It doesn't really happen in literature. So what's the challenge as the writer when you're writing from a killer's perspective?
My challenge was I wanted readers to, I think many readers will love her and understand her justifications. I think some readers might not like her, but hopefully will still enjoy reading about her story. So I think everybody justifies all sorts of things all day long, of why they had to speed, go above the speed limit to get to work, or why they ate that whole sleeve of cookies right before dinner. And if you justify killing somebody who you think is a bad person, it's just a little leap to the right or to the left. And so I just got in her brain as to how she could convince herself this is okay behavior.
When we've all had this experience of you've got somebody that maybe you're friends with, or maybe it's a member of your family that you make excuses for, and you try to show all their good qualities because you want other people to like them. Say, or maybe somebody that you're dating, you want your family to like. They point out all the bad stuff, and you point out all the good stuff. Do you have that experience as a writer? Because you want the reader to like your main character, because that's why they keep turning the page. So do you find yourself in your mind trying to justify certain things and say, well, let's tell the reader this about her because this will make them like her more?
Absolutely. And I think one thing that's often shown with serial killers is that they're very cruel to animals. And one thing that I wanted to show immediately to help the reader understand Ruby Simon and like her is that she's in fact very kind to animals, and she has close friends, and she's a loving wife, and there are real relationships in her life that we will care about and that have real stakes. So when she does make decisions that we might not agree with, we can be on her side through that.
It's admitted throughout the book, or I think you'd even acknowledge that a killer is not the most reliable narrator because they're playing games with you too. And so did you have internal struggles between what you wanted to tell and realizing that, no, Ruby would not reveal that?
I wanted Ruby to be very honest with the reader, and this is a book that's in first person. She's telling us her story, and I understand the reader will not trust her at first because why should they? But I think throughout the book, hopefully what will happen is you come to realize Ruby is telling us the truth. And when she decides to tell us a bit of information, that, of course, is held back to create tension and cliffhangers. But by the end of the experience, I hope the reader will believe, okay, she's told me the real deal, even though the other people in her life will never know the truth.
There's something that happens in her adult life that gets the whole ball rolling for the story, and I don't know if you want to reveal it, but it seems like that's really what happens with people who have things in their past that they want to keep secret. A totally innocent thing exposes them, and is that kind of what happened here to Ruby?
Yes. So, the tagline on the cover, so I will say it out loud, is that she's accused of four murders, but she's only guilty of three. So the irony is that, someone that she loves very much does die, and because these bodies have been stacking up in her past, she's accused of this. And whether she did it or not, you'll discover. But that is kind of what makes this book so fun is that the small decisions along the way can add up to proof of something that you might not have done, but it certainly looks like you did because of one thing or another.
Well, sort of ironically, the antagonist, for lack of a better term, in the book is this police detective, Keith Jackson. And so when you went about developing an antagonist for the protagonist, the murderer, I guess it's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but that's kind of what it is. What did you have to make sure that Keith Jackson was aware of and the things that he would come to learn to make him a believable antagonist?
Well, I wanted Keith Jackson to be a really good detective and a detective that's in fact correct about a lot of things. And so as you're reading this sort of cat and mouse game between Ruby and the detective, you also could feel for the detective because he's not wrong. He's doing a good job. He's trying to get who he thinks is a killer off the street. And I think of Ruby as an anti-hero, and so I sort of think of Detective Jackson as not exactly the antagonist, but somebody who we are hoping loses, but not in a way that will be harmful to him.
I'm chatting with Sasha Rothschild about her brand new novel, Blood Sugar. It is available everywhere, and I tell you, it's just a thrilling read. And Sasha, something I appreciated as a reader, and I guess as an American citizen, is you really expose a lot of the truths and unfortunate truths and inconvenient truths about the criminal justice system. And I assume that you have an overarching philosophy of that that you tried to put into the book, but where was it that you wanted to delve in to show the various ways that the American criminal justice system fails?
Well, I think a lot of times it comes down to who is the better attorney that people have, and a lot of this book is about Ruby Simon's defense attorney. And what I think is not fair is that the facts can get overshadowed by the personality of the lawyers, and it becomes who is the better storyteller, who can get the press on their side. And so in certain crimes, certainly that becomes salacious in society that everyone wants to read about on the first page. It almost becomes a popularity contest rather than the actual facts of the crime. And so that absolutely comes out and makes Ruby Simon's story larger than life, because it's not just her dealing with it, but it's the whole town of Miami that's very involved.
Well, there's the whole side of the criminal justice system where you can have a certain set of facts, and you have to appreciate this as a storyteller yourself. You can take the same set of facts and make somebody look guilty as hell or innocent as hell, and that's kind of how things work, right?
That I think that can be how things work, and I wanted to show that with simple things that could happen to the average person. And so, for instance, with Ruby Simon, she has pets, and she often is in contact with her veterinarian about those pets. And what it looks like when police check her phone records is that she might be having an affair. And so these things are created out of thin air, but they make perfect sense when you actually look at them. Of course she's calling her veterinarian all the time. So I think there's something really interesting in looking at our everyday life and how certain things we do could be turned against us if used in the wrong way.
There's also an element in the book that you deal with, or that Ruby deals with, and it's dealing with grief. And I think that's something that all of us have experienced, and you know, it's the well-told tale that we all experience grief in different ways. But when you went through the grief that Ruby has experienced, what did you keep in mind? Because Ruby may not think the same way as everybody else.
I wanted to show that for Ruby specifically, although she is a murderer, she does know how to love, and she does experience loss, and she is not a sociopath, or at least she does not believe she's a sociopath, and I think that's an interesting debate for readers who are interested in psychology. But when she loses something in someone she loves, she feels it, and she is a human being, and that grief, how she expresses it, is a little bit different than how other people express it. And again, that can be used against her in a way, like you were saying with the criminal justice system, of, well, look how she dealt with this. Clearly, she's not really grieving.
You know, what I find interesting about the novel is you've been on both sides of, well, not both sides, but multiple sides of writing. You've been in involved with Hollywood and also writing for, you know, people to actually read. So what do you find is the struggles that writing something for Hollywood is or has versus writing a novel for fiction readers to enjoy?
One interesting thing is when I write for television, every word, when you think about it, costs money. If you say a character walks down the street and it's a windy day, that wind has to be created by special effects, or a wardrobe has to create a jacket that will flap in the wind. Every detail actually is time and effort and money. So when writing for TV, everything has to be very specific and thoughtful. What I tried to do with the novel, where you can write anything, and of course it doesn't cost any money, it's words on a page, but I tried to keep in mind those really specific, important details that I would use in television so that there's no wasted words for the reader and there's not too many tangents that don't actually come back and become important. So that is a way that I combined my screenwriting experience into this fiction writing experience.
When you write a book with an antihero like Ruby, one of the pitfalls, I think, is that trying to come up with a conclusion that's going to make the reader happy. And the two characters I mentioned at the beginning of this interview, Tony Soprano and Dexter Morgan, famously had very unsatisfying finales to their stories. Was that in mind for you to try to make this come to a conclusion that people were going to walk away from and say, all right, I'm comfortable with that?
Yes, I wanted to give this an ending that people felt a sense of closure for this story, and they felt that things got wrapped up in a really satisfying way. But I also wanted to end the book with the idea that perhaps Ruby Simon could have more stories in the future. So it always is that fine line of giving everybody an ending that feels definitive, that feels rewarding, but perhaps leaving things a little bit open if there should be a second book.
Since you're the grand master of this story, was it an ending? Was it the original ending that you came up with, or did you have to shop this around a little bit with other people and bounce it off other people to try to come up with that satisfying end?
This ending I knew exactly when I set out to write this book. I knew how it would begin, what the main events were in the middle, and exactly how it would end. I just thought very clearly, and then the work came with filling all those things together and creating a structure that would keep the reader on the edge of their seat.
Well, it certainly kept me on the edge of my bed as I read this book over the last couple of nights in bed. The book is called Blood Sugar. It's the latest novel. It's by Sasha Rothschild. The book's available everywhere. Sasha, I love the book, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Ah, sugar.